Do you ever want to dive deeper into the Bible, but you just don't know where to begin or struggle to feel like you even have the time? When you read the Bible, do you get frustrated because you know there is so much more in there? You just have no clue how to get it out. Or maybe you just want to know the Bible better. You're looking for any resource to help. Well, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome to the Context and Color of the Bible podcast. We are two sisters. I'm Erica.
I'm Veronica.
We first love to study the Bible, and second, we love to help others understand and study the Bible. When it comes to our own study of Scripture, we have found that in bringing back the context of Scripture, it actually adds to our understanding. It adds color to the black and white pages of the text. Veronica.
Erica. You know what I forgot to tell you we should mention today?
What?
That this is going out, if you look at my nice little planner here.
Nice little planner.
April 18th. And
yes.
The next week after that, you're speaking at a retreat.
Yes.
Yes. And then the next weekend after that,
I'm speaking again.
You're speaking at a retreat.
Yeah.
And so for those of you in Michigan, mm-hmm. if you would like to see specifically where Erica's speaking,
yep,
then you can go to our website.
Yeah.
And I think it would be under About Us.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Yes. If you go to the top menu, it says About Us. Click on that and scroll down and it'll say here, Erica in Michigan or something. And so it gives it two different retreats.
Yep. Options.
Yes. Because I think they're both one day.
Yeah. Retreats. Saturday. Well, they both... One Saturday, one starts Friday, but I'm speaking
right.
Saturday okay. for both.
Right.
And if you can't come, I would appreciate prayers.
Yes. Because it's going to be two separate talks.
Yes.
Speeches. Yes. I don't know. Lessons you're giving
yeah.
at both.
Yeah.
So.
It's a lot. It's been good, but yes. it's a lot right now.
Yes. But yeah. we just want to say, those of you in Michigan, check out our website. You can find out exactly if there's a retreat in your area. Because the one's up near Traverse City.
Right.
The one the first weekend in May is near Traverse City. The other one, I haven't completely figured out where in Michigan.
The one at Lake Ann?
Yeah. No, that's the Traverse City one.
Okay, that's the second one.
That's the second one.
The first one is like 4 hours away from
I
us.
Know.
So
is it south of us?
No, it's more like across the state.
Okay. Okay, so if you're by the thumb.
Yeah, it's more around that area, I believe. So yeah, both Veronica and I will be at both.
Yes.
So we'd love to meet you yes, and
cause
say hi.
Because Erica doesn't like to stay alone in the cabin
no,
at night.
I'm a wimp. I will fully admit it. And if there are any spiders, I need someone to.
Exactly.
Yep. And it's fun to have the time together.
It is. It gives us time to plan.
Yep.
But with that, would you like me to get us started?
Yes, please.
Okay. We are going to be looking at, we'll see how long this podcast goes, if it's one or two. Mm-hmm. But essentially, we are looking at chapters 11 through 16. And what I want to say before we begin is I'm not going to be going verse by verse.
Right.
Or I'm not even necessarily going to explain all this because it is, in a way, self-explanatory.
Right.
Read it. Understand it. Truthfully, I will say some of the food laws. It's not the most self-explanatory. Like, does it have a split hoof or...
Right. Chew the cud.
Yes. And truthfully, this is partly why you have Jewish communities. It draws them together.
Mm-hmm.
The way food just draws you in and to go, it has right. to be kosher food. It's not easy. And if you
yes.
read through, you'll go, oh my word, there's so much going on here. That's why they live together. That's why they
yes.
have their kosher food. That's why things are stamped kosher.
Yes.
To just give them peace of mind. Because as you read this, you go, that's a lot to remember and try
right.
to figure out.
Well, people think kosher means don't eat pork.
True.
And there's so much more to kosher. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were the one, Veronica, that said, well, is the fertilizer you're putting
right.
on it kosher? Is, you know, have they tithed mm-hmm. from their harvest? How was the meat slaughtered?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot in the kosher food,
mm-hmm.
more than just eating pork. And so it would bring you together as a community.
Right.
Because we all know we need to eat a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
So I can trust that you who raise the beef
mm-hmm.
and I who slaughter the beef mm-hmm. are doing the same thing.
Yeah, because as you start to read this, it's like, okay, do I have to really go look at every single animal?
Right.
Go, do you have scales? What do you have?
Right.
So with that, I'm not really going to be breaking down a couple things I'll point out as we go. But instead, what I want to say is, because I'm assuming you can read and you can read this for yourself, I want to say, here's what it teaches us, though. Here's lessons we can learn and things God's doing with these laws that he's giving.
And we will say, if you read it and have a specific question about a law, email Veronica.
Right.
Put it on our Facebook page.
Right.
Send it through our website.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Right.
www.thecontextandcolorofthebible.com. Right. Sign up for the newsletter. And
right.
then you can email directly to us.
Right. And she'll answer your question as best she can.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Like Eric's like, she'll answer the question.
Right. You're the one doing all the study with Leviticus. So yeah, I get to sit and learn.
Yes. But basically, one of the big things, if you, as you're studying Leviticus, you need to understand that the ultimate goal is for all of Israel to achieve holiness, to achieve that set apartness. Because if you go back to Exodus, we saw they were supposed to be a kingdom of priests.
Yes.
And then instead they became a kingdom with priests.
Right.
But that didn't actually let the rest of the people, all the other tribes, off the hook. It wasn't like God went, okay, you're not a Levite, therefore
you can live however you want.
Right.
Interesting.
It was God still said, no, I still want you to be set apart. I still want you to live and act differently. So, okay, fine. The priests get the privilege of going a step closer to God.
Right.
Than the people do. But God still says, but I still want you to draw near. And because God is set apart, because God is holy, that holiness can either break forth and destroy,
right,
if it needs to, because truthfully, the impurity is always trying to break in and contaminate.
That's such a fascinating picture, Veronica, that holiness can break out and destroy because unholy and holy cannot mix.
Right.
And so impurity is constantly trying to get in and contaminate the holy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's such a great picture. Mm-hmm. That's life. Mm-hmm. And that's how we are called to live, holy, separate part, because contamination is constantly trying to get in.
To pollute. Sin is constantly polluting everything.
Right.
So therefore, how do I stop sin? I have to have boundaries. I have to be set apart.
Right.
To try to stop it, to slow it down. You can't completely stop it, but I can slow it down.
Right.
I can slow that pollution and contamination down.
Hmm.
Because as we saw in the beginning, the whole point is God wants his people to draw near.
Right.
But he realizes because of his holiness, his uniqueness, if they draw near in the wrong way, they will die.
Right.
And he doesn't want that to happen. We just ended last week on the podcast.
Right.
With Leviticus 11, where Nadab and Abihu died.
They drew near in the wrong way.
Right. And so you go, okay, which sets up just the natural transition then of chapters 11 through 15. Here's how you don't draw near.
Okay.
Or here's when you don't draw near.
Right.
Because when you draw near, here's what you need to make sure you're safe
with. Here's how you don't bring in that uncleanliness or that impurity.
Right. So basically, I'm going to keep breaking these chapters down because ideally I want you to go 1 through 7 is offerings.
Okay.
8 through 10 is that screen.
Right.
Where we're dealing with consecrating the priest, the priest doing their job, and then the death.
Right.
And then I want you to know that chapter 11 is about animals.
Right.
Chapter 12 is a woman with genital bleeding.
Okay.
13 and 14 are the leprous man. And 15 is the man with genital discharge and then a woman with a genital discharge. And so what you have is you have a careful balance here of genders and topics. This is God's going, I want everyone to draw near, not just the men.
Right.
Not just the women.
Right.
He's very much a God who says, everyone come to me.
Right.
And also, if you see, there's not preference.
Hmm.
You know, the laws can, the purification laws, the cleansing laws can be similar for men and women. It's not necessarily
everyone's equal in the sight of God.
Yes. So let's dive into chapter 11. Huh. The laws of impurity about your diet. Now, as I said, I'm not going to break everything down for you, but there's some things we can learn from that. Because if the goal is holiness, if the goal of Israel is to be set apart, these food laws teach Israel reverence for human life by limiting the animals you can eat. by requiring that the animals die in a humane way and acknowledging that bringing death to living things is not a privilege that is not a privilege of humanity's whim.
It's not a privilege of humanity's whim. So we don't get to just willy-nilly kill. No. There's a specific reason what you're killing and why.
And how you kill.
And how you kill.
And this is coming from Jacob Milgram.
It's fascinating. I think, and maybe you're going to say this, that it God is setting boundaries around our
human nature.
Human nature.
Our animal instincts.
Right. And making us act set apart from animals. You're not an animal, therefore you don't get to just kill willy-nilly. You're not an animal, therefore you don't get to do thus and so willy-nilly. You are different.
You're different, and there's going to be requirements of you then. Because animals do, according to Jacob Milgram, animals have a nephesh, that soul, like humans.
Oh, interesting.
So their blood must be buried. Their blood, the life, if you go life...
is in the blood.
Is in the blood. That belongs to God. So you just don't take the life of even an animal without a reason. Because animals, and you see, Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord has compassion on all that he made. And Adam and Eve were given dominion over the animals, but that entails responsibility then.
Right.
And so with that, animals actually have some obligations and kind of fall under the covenant like people do. We know that they were included in the covenant with Noah in Genesis 9, verses 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And then God sets up some of these laws and says, if an animal kills a person, the animal must die. If the law, if bestiality incurs, the animal and the person have to die.
Right.
So animals do have, whether they made the choice or not, they're included in some of the consequences.
By association.
Yes. They're, if they belong to an Israelite, the animals must keep Sabbath too.
Which I don't think an animal would mind.
No. Like
a break.
But in a way, it reminds you, this is not my life. The animal's life is not my life to
do with as I see fit. It still belongs to God. And as his steward, I must care for his animal the way he says.
Right.
And he says, give my animals a break. Once a week, let them rest.
The firstborn of the animals belongs to God, just like people. And animals are actually included in the Messianic age. You can see that in Hosea 2, verse 18. And we know in Isaiah 11, verse 6, they'll no longer be predators because the lion will lay down with the lamb.
Right.
And so the animals, even in the new kingdom, will have a different role in a way.
Than they do right now.
Than they do right now.
I wonder if there won't be meat in the new kingdom then.
I'd be okay with that.
Oh, I like meat. I like a good burger.
Oh, no. Give me fruits and vegetables.
Oh, I like a good burger.
Chocolate. Aren't you glad chocolate's not meat?
Yes. There will be chocolate in eternity.
Yes. But with that, because we've seen, and I pointed this out, I think, in the first podcast, that there's levels of holiness within animals. You have all animals.
Right.
Which, in a way, correlates to the covenant with Genesis 9. You're entitled to use the animals except for their blood.
Right.
Then you go a step in and you have that covenant God made with Israel in Genesis 12, 15, 17.
Right.
You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that whole thing. So now you get a fewer animals that you're allowed to eat.
Right.
And then you can go, you have even fewer animals to sacrifice, which relates to the covenant made with the priests in Numbers 25. You can only sacrifice domesticated and unblemished animals from those that are edible.
It's just fascinating how God is constantly setting apart, making circles getting smaller. And we so hard in our culture today are trying to remove boundaries and set apartness and distinction in some ways. And God is... God has put distinction in life for a reason and a purpose.
So then, as we talk about animals, and the difference then, Erica brought it up earlier, between humans and animals. Because humans will have meat for their food, so you have to kill it to get it.
Right.
So God, therefore, Jacob Milgram says, the Bible has therefore worked out a system of restrictions so that you can eat the meat, but not be dehumanized in the process.
Right.
Because think of what it would be like if you're constantly killing and you just get in that pattern and you get desensitized to it.
Oh.
So therefore, by having a system of restrictions, you don't get desensitized to it.
Right.
I mean, I even think, truthfully, my kids hunt.
Right.
They have seen animals die.
Right.
We were talking the other day. I don't remember why they brought it up. But your kids apparently saw a squirrel got hit in the road one day.
Oh, when my kids were there. Yes.
And my kids were like, eh.
It's a squirrel. No, okay. It's a squirrel.
Your kids were horrified by it.
Right.
And I don't remember why they brought it up, but my kids were just like, oh, remember, I think it was right. fun memories with cousins.
Right.
But Erica's kids don't see animals die regularly.
Right. Right.
Over their years, like my kids have.
Right.
So it was a lot more impactful.
Right.
To your children.
Right.
And so you go in this way, God goes, okay, I don't want you to become too desensitized to it. So here's the boundaries. Here's the guidelines.
I love how God knows we're human.
Yes.
And understands what that means and is constantly going, okay, because you're human, this is an area you're going to struggle in. So I'm going to put this protective boundary around you to help you.
To help guide you.
Right.
And keep you.
Because I don't want you just to go, I can kill willy-nilly. That's not good. That's not healthy. That's not the way I made the world to work.
Right.
So we're going to put boundaries. Yes, you can kill an animal,
but here's how. So with that, here's how. You don't get the blood. Life is in the blood, and that belongs to God, so you return it to him. Humans do have the right to nourishment, but not to the life of others. So when your nourishment is going to come from the life of others, God says, there's some reminders. The blood is mine. Those who do the killing must be skilled in a way that renders the death painless.
Right. It's got to be pretty...
pretty quick.
Yeah.
Pretty quick and painless.
Yeah.
Because the Bible's method... this Jacob Milgram says, the Bible's method of taming that killer instinct in humans is none other than its system of dietary laws. We're going to control that killer instinct.
Right.
Through the dietary laws. Because the dietary system is the prerequisite for an ethical life.
I just feel like you said a mouthful there.
I did. So let me kind of explain it and I might say it again. Only through a daily regime of disciplines that reminds humans that life is sacred can humans aspire to a way of life fully informed of other ethical virtues. Because again, go back to that animal instinct. The basic need is for food.
Right.
And so if we can control that basic need and keep it in control and disciplined, then all other areas can be disciplined.
That's true. You often see someone who is undisciplined in their eating struggles in many areas to be disciplined. That is very true.
Or you find the opposite. I start to bring the eating in control and other things just naturally. Because if I can control my what I eat, I can go, oh,
I can have a budget.
I can do other areas. Right. I can have this self-control.
Right.
And so God goes, naturally, there's this instinct in you.
Right.
Animal instinct.
Right.
And so here's how one more way to control it.
It just, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. God is constantly trying to say, yes, man, you are created like animals, but you are still above animals. You know, therefore, an animal will be intimate with another animal in front of anybody, could care less. But humans, there's boundaries around who, when, where, and how. Animals poop and pee in front of people all the time. But as people, we recognize, well, that's something I need to do in private. God is constantly trying to remind us we are set apart even above the animals. And so therefore how we live every area of our life is to remind us we're different. We're not an animal. We're not God.
But yet I also go the other way of animals aren't people.
Right.
You know, they still are below us. They still can be used.
Right.
For food. For
For work.
For work.
Right.
You know.
But how we take care of them.
How you take care of them reflects on God. And God says, here's what you're going to do.
Right.
Here's how you do it.
Don't live like an animal. Mm-hmm. Think before you eat. Mm-hmm. Think before you live and act. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So with that, and as you watch, as we go through this, there's if you become impure because you've touched an unclean animal or a carcass of an unclean animal, there's different ways of getting your purity back according mm-hmm. how God set it up. Sometimes it's simple, just you're unclean for a time period.
Right.
Normally till sundown. Other times bathing is required. So as you get into these animals and eating them and touching them, touching their dead bodies, there's different levels of the... One commentator kept calling it degrees of separation.
Okay.
So this, you know, this one, it's not such a big deal of separation. You're just impure.
Till sundown. You're fine.
Okay. This one, it's a little bit bigger, so you need another degree added in there. You're impure till sundown, and you need to bathe.
Right.
And so it kind of how deep in a way the contamination comes defines how much purity and what's going to give you your purity, the cleanliness back.
This would be such a reminder that we live in a broken, fallen world.
Yes.
And that sin is constantly, like you said earlier, uh-huh. trying to contaminate the holy, trying to mm-hmm. get in. Mm-hmm. That this isn't the way God set it up. This isn't the way it's going to be forever.
Right.
And yet, but this is where we live right now. And we have to be in a constant, as much as we can, we have to be careful and guard mm-hmm. what we let in. Mm-hmm. And when we let something in, because that's life, things happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I need to make it right. I need to immediately deal with it mm-hmm. and put up those boundaries back. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But with that, it's not even just the people that become unclean. It's things.
Right.
So the bowls that you're cooking with
can
become unclean depending on what's touched it.
Yep.
And so that was kind of interesting, because what you do see is like metal is easier to clean mm-hmm. than the baked pots, because they can be porous.
Right.
So you see, again, different ways of handling. How do I purify it? Can it be purified?
Right.
Metal is easier to purify. It's not porous. What else was I thinking?
Which I think it's one reason they find a lot of broken pottery.
Probably.
Oh, it's unclean. Just throw it out.
Probably. But even in that, water can be a purifying agent. But yet, if water falls on the seed and then this happens, it can also be...
contaminated?
Yes.
Oh.
So it's interesting. Huh. I mean, you just go... And truthfully, we said this last time, and I should say it again. You cannot find a health reason...
For every
single thing in chapter 11. It's not, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, you can see it with some of them. You know, pork carries a lot of things that can make you sick.
Right.
You can get that one. But you cannot find that for every single...
Right.
animal or item in this list. Some of it's God said it.
Right, therefore it is.
Yep. You'll have to take it up with him. I'm trying to look at the time. I think I'm going to set us up for next week.
Right. Sounds good.
But
since we've only hit chapter 11
truthfully, there was a lot more on chapter 11 than 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
We're not going to get into genital discharges in depth. No, is Erica, that what really you're saying?
That one. But what I do want to say is, as we get to this next section, 12 through 15, we have an ABBA pattern.
A chiastic structure for those of you who know.
Leviticus is filled with. There's actually a lady on Instagram. You, the Bible teacher, I think, is her handle. And I'm like, she's been talking on this, and I wrote him like, you need to read this book because it's filled with chiastic and parallelisms. And so we've kind of been chatting. But here's the pattern. Chapter 12 is reproduction and birth of children. Chapter 13 is leprosy and the diagnosis. Chapter 14 is leprosy and cleansing. Mm-hmm. So there's your BB.
Right.
Then going back to A, chapter 15 is reproduction and genital discharges.
So it really is ABBA.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the end of chapter 15, verse 33, closes by referring back to the opening of chapter 12. So you can go back and read and see what's the connection there. That's a small little ring within this. And what's interesting, these are the only medical conditions God gives rules for.
Leprosy and
reproduction and genital discharges.
The only medical.
That's what.
So like Mary a broken Douglas bone.
Said. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other. Interesting. Yeah, I guess I didn't realize
that's
that.
That's according to Mary Douglas.
Right.
But with it, and I do want to say, and I'll say it again next week. We all know leprosy talked about in Leviticus is not the leprosy in the New Testament where your fingers and thumbs and nose and ears fall off.
I think this is just a skin disease. This is, that could be a number of different ones, right?
Kind of. There's so many different commentators out there going, we're not completely sure. It could kind of sound like this. But truthfully, the way it appears and disappears doesn't even totally.
Doesn't fit leprosy.
And it doesn't fit other illnesses necessarily.
Oh.
And so I forget who it was. I think it's Jacob Milgram, calls it blood. No, not. Oh, a biblical scale disease.
Biblical scale disease.
Yes. So he says it's difficult to identify.
Oh, okay.
But come back next week. We're going to talk about reproduction, childbirth, genital discharges, and leprosy.
So always exciting topics.
I would recommend not eating it, not listening to the podcast while you're eating. Because for those of you that know me, I have a very weak stomach.
She does.
It does not take much to get me gagging.
Nope, not at all.
So you will never hear anything gross coming out of me because that some certain topics will make me gag instantly. My husband thinks it's a fun party trick to
do. So then they can listen to this because we won't talk about anything.
No,
gross.
But you still never know what's going to get people gagging is my point.
Oh.
If you talk about boogers, I will start gagging.
Yeah, she does.
So not everyone can handle that. So therefore.
If you talk about frogs, she can start gagging. I'll just let you know.
Not completely. You have to have it in the right way. Because we talked about frogs in Exodus and I was fine.
That's true.
I didn't gag. But that's what we're going to get into next week. And we should be able to wrap up those four chapters.
Sure.
In one podcast.
We'll do it.
Yes. But don't forget, Erica Speaking at a Retreat. Check out our website, www.thecontextandcolorofthebible.com, to see the specific dates and locations. Mm-hmm. And to hopefully I'll have links. Mm-hmm. Telling you how to sign up, where to go to sign up. And as always, you could be praying for Erica as she continues to, her notes are written, I'm assuming.
For the most part, yeah.
So, but kind of that refining, really going, okay, yes. God, I want to bring the truth and I want to bring it in a way that
they enjoy it in, yes.
And I'm not boring and dull.
Yes.
Because it's never fun going to hear someone speak and then going, oh, that was
pathetic.
A waste of my time.
Yeah. Nope.
So, we don't want that for Erica. So, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.